company. Standing outside, talking.
Doesn't matter.
Well, can't you wait here for a few minutes, huh? Sit down. I saw at least 3 or 4 monks standing outside waiting. Huh? You can't wait here? If you continue this kind of practice, you don't need to come to these talks, huh?
We should always ask ourselves, what is important in our life? What do we want, want to achieve? What do we want to take with us into the next life? Or if you want to stop, stop birth and rebirth. And then, according to our wishes, do the things that are necessary to get our wishes fulfilled. We just live into the day. We don't think about, I mean, we think about the future, worried about this, worried about that. We don't think about the future in the right way. You know, what do I want? Am I still on the path or am I drifting off? Am I slowly drifting off? Because we don't notice if we slowly drift off. Am I on the path? What is my path? What is my goal? Am I still, in the direction, working on my goal? And then it's fine. And the goal for each person is different. I don't judge people for their goal that they have in their life. But we should have a goal, at least if we are Buddhist, we know, this is not the only life that we live. There are many more to come, and if you don't put an end to it, there are uncountable lives, to come. And each life will bring the same things, We are born, if it is a human life, we are born, we educate or we train the body, and then we work for the body, and then we die. Or waiting for the death, when we get retired. If you want to make some changes to your life, what is normally not taught in Western schools, is the first thing, to keep the 5 precepts that protect us, from falling down. If you keep the 5 precepts, then this is a protection not to fall down into the lower realms. What are the lower realms? The lower realms start with the animal realm, then comes the ghost realm, the hungry ghost, and the ghost, and the demon realm, and the hell realm. And there are 25 different kinds of hells. So if you don't want to fall down to the lower realms and want to be born as a human being or even go up, to the Deva realm or to the heavenly realm, then we have to keep the 5 precepts. Remember this, Not harming any living being. Not taking what is not given. No sexual misconduct. No lies, no harsh speech. No speech, that hurts other people. And no alcohol, no drugs, everything that makes us unmindful. These are the 5 precepts. And from today on, we should keep them. These 5 precepts are also the second fetter. We keep them, then we fail, and then we keep them again, and then we fail, we keep them again. That is the second fetter. And then there are 3 prerequisites. Even if you take up meditation, we need 3 prerequisites. And also, if you don't want to go out, these 3 prerequisites make our next life much more comfortable. And the first thing is generosity. People think, generosity is only generosity towards the monks or towards the monastery. No, it's not this is one part of the generosity. Generosity is helping people, no matter who they are. If they need help and we help them, that is generosity. If we give our time, to help other people, that is generosity. If we give our money to other people that need, that need help, that is generosity. If we have children, and educate and look after them, and children are just like monks. Monks need everything. They need food, they need clothing, they need a place to stay, and they need medicine, just like children. So if you have children and educate them or look after them for 20 years, this is generosity. It's not only, you know, I mean, some people think, you know, generosity is only giving to this organization or that organization, or, yeah, in Buddhist circle, you know, giving it to the monks or to the monasteries. No. Generosity is dividing one's time, dividing one's money, dividing one's resources in order to help other people. Yeah? What is the other virtue that we need to develop? Yeah? Respect. Respecting doesn't mean that we praise somebody. Respecting means, you know, we respect people, yeah, because they are people, because they are human beings or they are animals, respect their rights and their livelihood. That's it. Respect doesn't mean that we have to say, okay, what he's doing is good, or that's why we respect him, or what he's doing is bad, that's why we disrespect him. No, respect is just respecting other people because they have the status of being human beings. No matter how bad they are, no matter how good they are. This is something, you know, that we have to understand. I mean, they have become human beings. That means they earn our respect. Because it is not easy to become human beings. Huh? Or they have become animals. Huh? Most of the beings, you know, are down in hell. So, I mean, we can respect them, learn it, you know. Learn to differentiate between respecting somebody and valuing something, you know, that he's done. That are two different things. Respecting a person because he's a person, because he's a human being. I mean, the Lord Buddha talked about it, yeah. I mean, if you can't find anything, you know, but, you know, at least that he's a human being, yeah. And there are always, you know, each person, you know, has some good sides. You know, we can look for these good sides. But we should not disrespect him. Yeah? But that doesn't mean that we cannot criticize him for what he is doing bad. Yeah? As long as we keep within the five precepts. Yeah? As long as we don't hurt him and defame him or something like that. Yeah? We call him out on the things that he does, you know, that is fine, yeah, without any aggression, without any malevolence, yeah. And what is the third one? That is your gratitude, being grateful for what is given to us. You know, it's very difficult for us, you know, especially when we come from the Western society. It is our right. Our parents should take care of us, yeah? Our parents should, you know, pay for our university. Our parents should pay for this, for a car. You know, I want a car, yeah? And so on. This is not gratitude. Being grateful for what the parents do to us, yeah? Or do for us. I mean, they looked after us, you know, for 20 years, yeah? I mean, they wiped off the shit of our asses, yeah? Huh? And they went up, you know, I mean, they were sleepy, you know, they were tired, you know, and when we cried as babies, you know, they went up from their bed, you know, to take care of us, yeah? How can we be ungrateful towards them? I mean, they are not perfect. Nobody is perfect in this world. No human being is perfect unless he's an Arahant. So, I mean, how can we expect them to be perfect? And especially if we grow older, yeah, I mean, to respect them, yeah, respect them as human beings and be grateful for what they have done. Because normally every parent, yeah, I mean, does the best for his kids. Yeah? I mean, of course, there are exceptions to the rules, yeah, but our parents, you know, every one of us who sits there, our parents, you know, tried the best for us, yeah, to educate us, to give us the things that we needed, yeah. And to be able to live in a world, you know, without the help of the parents, yeah? That is also something that we should be grateful. But what do we do, you know, I mean, in Asia it's still, you know, it's still common, you know, that the people or the children take care of their parents in the, you know, inviting them into their home, looking after them until they die. And what do we do in the West? You know, we send them to the old people's home, yeah, and visit them once a year. Hello, hello. Not so long, you know, an hour, you know, it's more than enough, you know, and then we leave them alone for the rest of the year. That is not great. That is not gratitude, yeah. We should be grateful. We should try the best. I mean, of course, if the parents don't say, you know, don't bother with me, you know, I mean, yeah, visit me twice or three times a year, you know, I want to live by myself, that is fine, yeah. But, you know, trying to help them, yeah, like we try to help everybody. So these three virtues, you know, generosity, respect, gratitude, in conclusion, in combination with the five precepts, is actually the path to the Deva realm, to the heavenly realm. This is something that we should understand. If it is not enough, I mean, if our generosity is not enough, if the respect is not enough, or the gratitude is not enough, then we just come back to the human realm and then enjoy, you know, whatever gratitude we have given, whatever we have done unto other people, that is what the other people will do unto us in our next life. So, I mean, if we have this always in mind, don't do unto others what you don't want others to do unto you. Yeah, with every action, with every word, and with every thought, you know, I mean, then only good things are coming back to us. How can they not? Yeah? Because we created them, and whatever we created will come back to us. I mean, that is the beauty of the Lord Buddha's teaching. Yeah? Nothing comes back to us that we have not created, or that we have not put into motion. So that is just as a general reminder. Yeah, and then, you know, just like I said in the beginning, think about what you want to achieve in your life. Set a goal for your life, you know, what at the end of your life, what you want to have, yeah, what you want to take with you. And for this goal you work, yeah. I can only give you the tools, you know, for entering the stream or going beyond, yeah. If you don't want to be reborn, you know, I mean, then follow the path of the Lord Buddha. I mean, what did the Lord Buddha say about, you know, the path, you know, to Nibbana? He said we need to build a raft, yeah? And when we have this raft, when we build this raft, then we need to cross the river, yeah? And when we cross the river and are in the land of Nibbana, we can disregard the raft, yeah? It is a burden. We don't need to carry it because, I mean, it carried us over the river. We don't need to carry it. I mean, that is a simile that the Lord Buddha gave. Yeah? But we are not looking for a raft because it's too coarse. Yeah? We are looking for a steamboat or we're looking for a luxury, you know, boat, yeah? Or maybe even a helicopter, you know, that brings us over the, you know, river, because a raft, you know, I mean, there's a storm, you know, and then we're drifting downwards, or there are some water disturbances, you know, and we go under for a while, yeah, and then we have to to paddle up, you know, going to the other side of the river. Yeah. So people, there are lots of people in the West who look for the perfect raft or the perfect transport, you know, getting over to Nibbana. And at the end of their life, they have not found it. Yeah? Because this kind of vessel, yeah, this kind of vessel, this is good about this vessel, that is not good about this vessel. Yeah, okay, let's find a better vessel, you know, and then they find another vessel, and they find this is good about it, and that is not good about it. At the end of their life, they have not found the perfect vessel. Can't they find the perfect vessel? Because the heart is not perfect. Yeah? So there's lots of likes and dislikes. Yeah? I mean, this I like about this way, or about this monastery, or about this this Buddhist circle, or about that. Yeah? And this I don't like, and then this I like. You know, then they go to the next monastery. Oh, yes, that is good. You know, and then after, that is not so good. You know, and then they go to the next. And at the end of their life, they travel through thousands of monasteries or thousands of places, and they have not found the perfect place. Because their heart is not perfect, yeah. I mean, they should learn, you know, at one place, you know, whatever they can learn from there, and then, you know, if it doesn't lead them to their goal, you know, then they go to the next one, place and see, you know, just like the Lord Buddha. How did the Lord Buddha, you know, went on his path? Yeah. I mean, the first time, you know, I mean, he met a teacher who taught him the first lower jhanas. Yeah. And then, you know, after he mastered the first four jhanas, I mean, he said, is that all? Because whenever I come out of the jhanas, you know, everything is the same. Then the teacher told him, you know, that's all what I can teach you, but I know that there's another teacher who teaches something else. Maybe you're going to visit him. And then he went to another teacher who taught him the upper four jhanas, or the arupa jhanas, and then he mastered them. And then also at the end he asked, that is nice, it is so beautiful, you know, while I'm in the jhana, but whenever I come out, you know, the world is still the same. There must be a way out. Yeah. So I mean, he learned whatever teacher he had. He learned the things that you could learn from it, and then he went to find somebody who could teach him something more. Yeah. But in the end, he had to find out his own way. You know, he had to find out, and he called it the Majjhima Padipatta, the middle way of practice. Then. Before that, you know, I mean, he went into total asceticism, yeah? I mean, he fasted for nearly 7 years, you know, without taking anything that didn't fall into his lap. And then he saw, this is not the way, you know, I'm just destroying my body, and the body is the vessel, you know, to cross, you know, actually to cross the river, to the deathless. And then he found the middle path, yeah? of sila, samadhi, and panya, yeah? And samadhi or sati and panya are the raft that we need to build to cross the river. Right? If you have a lot of sati and if you have a lot of panya that we can we can develop, I mean we can cross the river very quickly. Yeah? If our sati and panya is lacking, then of course, you know, I mean then each storm, you know, will take us down, and then we have to go up again, and then we have to do, yeah. But if sati and panya is strong enough, if you build enough of the sati panya, I mean, then we can cross the river pretty quickly. Just like in the suttas, pretty quickly, you know, within no time, yeah. What is no time, you know, maybe 10 years, maybe 20 years, that is no time for people, you know, who live for billions of lives. Of course it's no time. Yeah, within a few years or within a decade or 2 decades, they found the liberation. And that is for us to remember. I mean, even if it is said in the suttas, you know, within no time he found, yeah. I mean, that still means a lot of time. And when we look at the Arahants, from what we know about, you know, how fast and how slowly they got enlightened in the area of, in Thailand, yeah. I mean, the fastest was probably 4 years, you know, and was normally about, you know, between 16 to 20 years until they got enlightened. But what they went through, you know, is not something that we know of or something that we think, oh, that is too extreme. But they did it, yeah, because they had one thing in mind, and that was the deathless, reaching Nibbana, reaching the deathless. So they did everything. They sat at the edge of a cliff, you know, to counteract their tiredness, you know, and they knew if I fall asleep, you know, I will go down, you know, and shatter to death, yeah. Or the others, you know, who were afraid of tigers, you know, sat in the path of a tiger, you know, said, okay, let's overcome this fear. But this is the way when you read, for instance, the Padipada of the Arahants at the time of Lumpuman and or Lungda Mahabo. That's how they reach a deathless. So for us it seems to be extreme, but for them it didn't seem to be extreme. It seems to be the Majjhima Padipada, the middle way of practice. So in order for us to understand that, yeah, in order to choose the right path, you know, think about very carefully, yeah, whatever you want, yeah, whatever you want, you know, at the end of your life, what do you want, yeah? What do you want to take with you in the next life? Do you want just to take a lot of generosity, a lot of, you know, a lot of wealth, a lot of, yeah, respect, you know, that other people respect you, a lot of gratitude, that other people feel grateful to you? And, or do you want to go to the heavens, or do you want to start to, yeah, enter the stream? Because if you enter the stream, then the promise of the Lord Buddha is, yeah, There are seven more, at utmost, seven more lives to go. If you come back as a once-returner, then there's one more life to go. Yeah? And if you come back as a non-returner, there's no more life to go. Then you just end up, you know, in the five realms for the Anagami until you end up in the realm of Nibbana. That is something, yeah, that you have to choose, and then you have to find the way to go about it. And if you go back, you know, some of you go back, you know, then think about it, you know, what, you know, pick your priorities. Yeah, if your priority is actually the path of practice, then make it, make your life, yeah, put your life around the path of practice. The moment you get up, the first thing is you clear your mind of the dreams and whatever happened during the night, so that it is completely sharp. And then you start doing your things, yeah? And do your things while you try to have as much sati as possible, yeah? Before you do something, you think about it, what do I want to do, why do I want to do it, and what results do I expect from it? And then go ahead and do it. No matter, you know, don't judge it, you know, just look at the results. And then in the evening, you know, when you come back from work or from whatever you do, then clear your mind of everything that happened, you know, during the day. And after that, once the mind is completely cleared, you know, then do some reflection. What happened? What was in my mind? What was I thinking? What was I doing? Yeah? What kind of results did my action or my words have? And so on and so on. Don't judge them to be good or bad. Just look at them, you know, observe them with a non-judgmental mind. Yeah? And that is very, very difficult, because we automatically judge. Yeah? Oh, it's too hot, it's too nice, this person is nice, this person is not nice. This is not what we need to do. Reflection is just, yeah, getting back our memories, what happened that moment, and look at that moment and feel the experience of that moment, and don't put any labels on it, don't put the label on it, this was good or this was bad. And that, this, in combination with the five precepts and the three, and the development of the three virtues, I mean, that must lead to a much, much better life. Yeah? And that leads even in this life to a lot of changes to the better. If you, yeah, do it, if you go according to this plan. And that's all what I have to say. Yeah? Remember it, yeah? And then now choose, you know, and choose your path, yeah? What you want to do in your life, what you want to have.
Okay, are there any questions?
So, question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm doing Anapanasati. The point is here in the beginning,
yeah.
It's clear.
Yeah.
But then, kind of, the point is up somewhere here, but I cannot really locate it here.
Yeah.
Because it's difficult enough to bring kind of the face back.
Yeah.
Or the body back.
So yeah.
I bring the body back and really try to stay here.
Yeah.
Or is the kind of the body visible and I just have it somewhere?
No. I mean, concentration always stays here. Yeah.
Okay, so I just bring the body back.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the concentration stays here. The knowing can drop into the heart, yeah? Yeah? And the feeling at the point of concentration, you know, I mean, will disappear when the knowing drops into the heart, yeah? Then you know the breath. But if you follow the breath, you know, if you don't know where the breath is, yeah? Then you don't know where your sati is. You lost your anchor, yeah? It is very important in meditation that we have an anchor that is fixed, yeah? We don't want to float in the ocean because we don't know. I mean, yes, we are on our lifesaver, but the lifesaver goes east, and then it goes west, and then it goes north, and it goes south, and we don't know where we are. I mean, if we have a buoy, you know, that is anchored, you know, to the ground, then we know, okay, we are always at the same place, and we can always return to that same place. But don't force it too much, yeah? Just put your attention back, yeah? No matter if you feel it or don't feel it, yeah? Just know that the breath goes in, know that the breath goes out, yeah? Know that the breath is deep, yeah? And know that the breath is shallow, and know that it is the in-breath or the out-breath or whatever, yeah?
And when the breath becomes like everything, like just there's only breath, and then you just.
Yes, but then what happens?
Well, then it's quite awesome. It's just breath, and then there's pretty much everything is like.
Yet. I mean, yes, but, you know, I mean, you still need a point of concentration. You still need a fixed point. Because, you know, then the breath slowly moves, you know, to this side, and then he slowly moves back, you know, and slowly moves forward and backward. Yeah, but we don't have a fixed point. With this kind of samadhi, we want to reach Apana Samadhi. Apana Samadhi is one-pointedness, yeah? So if you don't have one point of reference, yeah, I mean, we will never, yeah? Yes, it is nice, but actually you are more with the feeling than with the breath. And that is the number one problem, you know? I mean, yes, the breath, yes. And then instead of doing our work, we are with a nice feeling of the breath. Yeah? Yes, it is nice, but it sooner or later, you know, it disappears. Yeah? Huh? You notice that? Okay. And why does it disappear? Because we didn't put any effort anymore. Yeah? It's just like, you know, we go to work for 1 month, you know, we got a lot of money, and then we go on holiday, you know, and we spend it all, you know. And why is the money gone? No, I mean, now we have to go back to working hell, yeah?
Another question. When we know it's like in, out, long, short, when, as soon as I kind of think that, I'm like completely off the breath because I cannot stay off the breath because the thought comes. So,
it don't, I mean, in the beginning it is thinking and then in the end it is knowing.
Okay, yeah. So I can leave the thoughts.
Yeah? At the moment you can leave the thoughts, you know, I mean, in the beginning you have to put the label on it, yeah? Or you might have to put a label on it if you don't have the connection to the knowingness, yeah? Yeah. But it should come later on, it should just know it, yeah? I mean, how can you not know how the breath is? Huh?
I mean, if you look at the breath, it's obvious if it's short or long.
No. Yes, yeah? I mean, if you know that, it's fine, and then you don't have to put a label on it, yeah? If you don't know it, you know, and then you have to think about how is the breath? Is it the in breath or out breath? Yeah, but that means you're completely lost. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it becomes so. I don't know. You know. I mean, it becomes so clear. You know, the breath becomes so clear. It becomes so obvious. Yeah. Once we have a little bit of sati, it becomes so obvious. We don't even have to. We don't have to think. Yeah. But in the beginning, towards enter samadhi, I mean, we do have to have a little bit of crutches, you know, to get to this point, yeah? So to focus on it, yeah? And then to focus, you know, on the tip of the, or around the tip of the nose, yeah? And know, yeah? And sometimes in the beginning, you know, the first 5 minutes, you have to tell you, okay, this is in-breath, this is out-breath, and slowly, you know, slowly develop it to the knowingness of the breath, yeah? But then we get off, you know, because, now it is quiet, nice. And then we just... And this is something that we really have to pull ourselves back, yeah? I mean, always remembering what brought us to the nice state, yeah? What brought us to this nice feeling? Our work, yeah? Huh? What... What gives us the opportunity to go on holidays? Our hard work, you know, to earn money, yeah? And we forget that when we are on holiday, yeah? And that's the same thing, yeah? I mean, we forget it, yeah? What brings up these nice feelings, yeah? The work that we did, yeah? Always returning back to the breath, always returning back to the breath, and start to know the breath. That brings up the nice feeling. And we should remind ourselves every now and then, yeah? Probably a few times during the day. If you're not yet, yeah, experienced with it. So, any other question?
I have some question from French people, from the email.
From French people.
Yes.
So if they are short, yes. If they are long, no.
Okay, so we will do only the two questions from Florian. But they are kind of short. The first one Florian was asking, What is love? Because there's more and more the feeling that the way we are taught love is, it's more comes in our, like, how we are educated. It's like people tell us, oh, you must act like this, react like this, or if you don't act like this, it means you have no heart, you are cold, dry, or you are selfish, or you are bad.
Yeah.
If you
don't do what I want, then you don't love me. Yeah.
And then he reminds me.
You remember that, Windy?
And you remember once he was in a Vipassana retreat, and so his citta was very calm and concentrated. And then he was just watching the bodily sensations, but just observing them without reacting. He wanted to know what they were. He was really interested in them. And finally, he got to the point where he realized that all these sensations, he was starting to see quite a few, they were all unpleasant. They were not painful, but they were like kind of unpleasant. He was like... So for him, he was like really like all these sensations want to come. And after following this meditation, every time when he was going out, he should just focus on an ant, and he would realize that she had the same kind of sensation, and he would feel like tears coming out of metta or atom. And so he was wondering, is it this kind of love? Is it this metta? Yes. Is it this love? And then his question is it the knowledge or the knowingness of more and more subtle that what dukkha really is? Is it this that will reveal to us what is really love?
No, I mean the last part of the sentence is not correct. But you know that what it describes is, you know, if you see an ant, you know, I mean, they have a difficult task, you know. I mean, what they carry on their back, you know, I mean, it's quite heavy, yeah. And they're running, you know, running forth and back, you know, carrying all these things, you know, to their house or to their nest and so on. They have such, yeah. I mean, you see it there. I mean, but we do the same thing, yeah? We go in the morning, we go to work, you know, earn some money, you know, in the evening we come back, you know, we rest a little bit, and the next morning we go to work again. The love that is taught in the West, you know, and it is especially the West, you know, I mean, is attachment, yeah? So I can only love one person, yeah? I cannot love several persons, yeah? And this person, you know, that I love has to do everything that I want, yeah? He has to understand me, yeah? Even if I don't understand myself. He has to know exactly what I want. That is when a person loves me, yeah? He has to know whatever my wishes are, even though I don't know what my wishes are, yeah? That is what we expect. That is the idea about love, you know, in the Western world. But it's nothing else than attachment, yeah? I mean, love. Is the love, you know, I mean, if you call it like that, is the love of a mother to her child. No matter how it turns out, if it's a good child, you know, she still loves her. And if it is a bad child, she also loves her. Yeah? So she is not judgmental about the love. I mean, it's a love from her, you know, it came out of her body, you know, and no matter, you know, if it's a stupid, you know, if it's a stupid boy, it's an intelligent boy, if he's successful or if he's not successful, if he turns to be a, you know, a murderer or not a murderer, you know, and a good person or a bad person, I mean, she still loves him. And that is the kind of love, or that is the kind of metta. Metta, if we don't have metta for one person, that means we don't have matter at all. We judge men, you know. We say, okay, this person earns our matter and that person doesn't earn our matter. Yeah? Yeah? That is, yeah? I mean, go back, you know, go back to the Second World War, yeah? I mean, if we don't have matter, yeah, for a person like Hitler, you know, I mean, that means we don't have matter for anybody. Yeah, because our judgmental, you know, thing, that doesn't mean, yeah. I mean, loving kindness has to be loving kindness for all beings, yeah. I mean, that's what the Lord Buddha said, yeah. If a person has, you know, for 2 minutes, you know, loving kindness for all beings, whatever they are doing, yeah. I mean, this is the thing that brings them to heaven, yeah? Something like that, if I remember correctly. No, I mean, this metta, just like this gratitude or respect, has nothing to do with what these people are doing. Not matter how our children turn out, yeah? It's the love, you know, of a mother, yeah? And the love of a father to a child is different, yeah? That's why I say the love of a mother to her child, yeah? It is part of her, you know, and no matter how this child turns out, you know, I mean, she will still love it, yeah? That doesn't mean that she doesn't like, yeah, the successful person more than the person, you know, who turns bad, you know? But she still loves him, yeah? You understand that? It's difficult to understand if we can't accept it, yeah? Because we like to have enemies, you know? But enemies, yeah? I mean, what did Jesus say? Huh? Love thy enemy as thyself, huh? Didn't he say that? Huh? Even if he's our biggest enemy, we should love him, yeah? I mean, Jesus said the same thing as the Lord Buddha, yeah? In this respect, I mean, they had a lot of things in common, yeah? I mean, if we can't respect, if we can't love our enemy, yeah, that doesn't mean that we have to value what he's doing, or that means that we have to say whatever he does is great. No, yeah, he does bad things, yeah, like the Nazis did, you know, or they do good things, you know, like Mother Teresa or Gandhi did, yeah. But that doesn't mean that the love of us, you know, to each being is the same, yeah. No matter if it is a mosquito, you know, that sucks out your blood, you know, or if it is the ant, you know, that keeps all the garbage, you know, from the woods, yeah? We should love them the same way. Each person or each being has its task in this world, yeah? Okay, understood?
And the second question. So he's realizing that the path leading to Nibbana is tougher that everyone could imagine it is.
Hmm?
It's tough. It's more difficult that one could imagine.
Yes, that is true.
But yet he still has this thought. Taking the decision toward the aim, is it not like trying to escape from the responsibilities of ordinary life? And you say, when we have heavy responsibilities, being brave would not be to act.
That is Western. This is Western thinking, yeah? I mean, the Lord Buddha, you know, gave all the responsibilities for the worldly life, huh? I mean, he gave up his throne, yeah? He gave us his child in order to seek the holy life.
He has a newborn child.
He had a newborn child.
He has, yes.
Yeah, I mean, Florian has a newborn child. I mean, it is difficult to make this decision. I mean, ordaining as a monk is not fleeing from the world if you take it seriously to be ordained as a monk. If you ordain as a monk, you know, just to have a nice life, yeah, I mean, you will get the consequences of it, yeah? And these consequences, you know, are fiery, yeah? It's a fiery hell, yeah? So you do not escape, yeah, from the responsibilities. However, yeah, if you know now that your family is not safe in the safe net of your society, I mean, then it is a very difficult question.
Because in his question, yeah, he was saying so. In Britain,
but being in France, yeah, yes. I mean, there's a lot of safe net, yeah.
But he was saying to renounce, would he be not more brave so to accept this responsibility and renounce ordination for a time?
That, for me, that is an excuse. Yeah? He should ask his heart, yeah? As long as he goes along the path, yeah? I mean, within his responsibilities, within his family, but when he sees, you know, his meditation or his, there is no more progress in his meditation, then the heart closely surely knows the answer, now I have to ordain. Yeah? As long as he can, you know, practice and progress on the path, you know, progress in samadhi, in sati, in panya. I mean, yes, I mean, he can stay in the world. That what happened to me, yeah? I mean, I thought, you know, I mean, there's no more progress. You know, if I don't stop working, I can't have any more progress. I can't go deeper, yeah? And that's why, you know, choose, you know, homelessness life. And then, you know, when I was in the homeless life, you know, I went to England, you know, and then I went back to Germany. And I saw, you know, I mean, being with these teachers, I can progress not anymore. So I have to move to Thailand, and to find the real teacher. And once I find Lungdo Mahabor, the real teacher, you know, I never had this thought again, because I knew, I mean, whatever I wanted to know, whatever I wanted to read, I mean, he knows the answers for that. Don't make it, you know, don't make it something, you know, that you decide. Yeah, a lot of Western people decide, okay, now I ordain as a monk, and 3 years later, no, it wasn't the right thing. No, let your heart decide. Yeah, once the heart knows, you know, I mean, you can go through any kind of difficulties. And the monk's life can be much more difficult than taking on the responsibilities, yeah? Because you have lots of ample of time for the kilesas to play around, yeah, Florian? And you don't notice it, you know, because when you're a monk, actually, you're 24 hours, you're on the path. There is no weekends, there's no Saturday, there's no Sunday, there's no holidays, yeah? There's no day offs, yeah? That's what it should be, you know, it's 24 hours, yeah, every day, yeah, where you try to progress on the path. Dönchen Grom, you know, I mean, walking meditation, sitting meditation, or developing, you know, developing samadhi or developing panya. And that is tougher than any kind of work, you know. Lungdo Mahabor said there is no work that in the world, you know, even if you have to work 10 hours under the earth, you know, to ship coal or, you know, whatever, yeah. It's still better, yeah, because once you come out, you know, I mean, you can have, you know, the food that you like, and you can sleep, and you can have, whatever you want, yeah. Until the next day where you have to go underneath the earth or underground, yeah, and to dig out the coal again, yeah. But we don't have this choice. Yeah? That's why I said there's no work that is harder than anything in the world, and that is meditation, that is practice. Yeah? Because there is no holiday. We cannot just take off our robes, you know, and then go into the city, you know, go and well, we can take off our robes, but then it is finished, yeah? Then we are not monks anymore. Then we are lay people, you know, who have to, you know, to work for their living, yeah? Just like everybody has to work for their living when they are lay people, yeah?
Yeah. What was the productive action against conceit? What is that? Neither am I nor am I not. Yeah? This is another look at the conceit, yeah? And don't fall for it, yeah? I mean, you can negate it if it works, yeah? Is that, no, I'm not that good. Yeah? Or, no, I'm not better than others, yeah? And no, am I equal with others. No, am I worse than others. That is how you can counter conceit. Yeah? And conceit always, you know, always strives on an opinion, on a view.
Okay, understood? Enough for today. Yeah. If there is no more pressing question, both of you leave on Monday or...